On this episode of Still Loading, it's the final episode of Mario Month 2020. Hello everyone, and welcome to the final installment of Mario Month 2024, well, obviously the year 2020. This week's episode, we are diving into the third installment of the Wario Land franchise. Yes, I know it is not technically Mario, but it is Mario adjacent, and it stemmed off from the Mario Land games for the Game Boy. Now, normally, Casey would be the one to join me for the episode, but unfortunately, due to some scheduling conflicts, and also, this is the first episode that I am recording remotely, planned to be in person, but had to be rescheduled to remotely due to the coronavirus, unfortunately, but that's not stopping me. It's not stopping this podcast. We're going to keep on going. And with me today is a first-time guest of mine, a friend of mine that's I've known for years, but I haven't had on the show yet. It's the first time on the podcast, my friend Max. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I admit, getting a lot of gaming in right now with the whole Corona thing.
Yeah, man. It's been kind of intense with everything that's going on, but at least we have something to get us through all this. And I've actually been playing a lot of games lately, mainly for upcoming episodes of the podcast. I didn't have a time for this one because I actually played through Mario Land 1, 2, 3, and Wario Land 2 in preparation for Mario Month this year, and I just never got around to Wario Land 3, mainly because the copy that I had for the Game Boy, which was actually Casey's copy, didn't work. And I would have bought the digital version of it, but I just don't really play my 3DS all that often. But I know you did buy the digital version. Did you end up beating the game?
I did, yes. Now, granted, I did beat the game, but I have not gone back and like cleared all the coins and everything and 100% of the game.
No, I wouldn't expect you to. It's this game. One thing I guess I wanted to really talk about with this game is how much of a Metroidvania it is like. Do you know what I'm talking about with the Metroidvania?
Oh, like how Metroid and you're like rerunning the map over and over again.
Exactly. So the Metroidvania style, for those who don't know, is it is a kind of a combination. It became popular with the Castlevania Symphony of the Night game. And it the idea that, you know, you get new power-ups as the game goes along, and that allows you to go back to locations you were at once before, and then that way you can unlock new areas of the map that you previously were not able to get to or could not even see or just you didn't even know existed. This game kind of like takes that idea, doesn't exactly follow a Metroidvania format one-to-one, but it's definitely got some Metroidvania influences in the idea that, like, you'll go to one level, you'll unlock something there, and then it will tell you, hey, there's something over or new on this level. So the big difference that makes it not entirely a Metroidvania is that it's not open and exploratory. Like, you still have to go level by level. Now, it tells you which levels it generally tells you which levels are affected and which levels you can go back to and find stuff, but I really like, and I'm surprised I didn't really make the comparison with Wario Land 2. I know you didn't play that one, Max, but this game, both Wario Land 2 and 3, really kind of have that feel of very open exploratory, but within the individual levels, not the entire game. That was just the first thing that really kind of popped into my mind watching the gameplay for this and watching some of the boss fights, but this is your first time playing a Wario Land game or a Wario game, correct?
Actually, it is. Yeah, Wario was never really on like my radar until like you asked me about doing it for the podcast, and I had a lot of surprises coming into Wario because I have played a lot of Mario games, and I was like, I was just thinking it's going to be very much the same, man. Boy, was I wrong.
It's very different. What was your overall impressions then? I know we kind of usually talk about like do we like the game or do we not like the game at the end of the episode. But since this is your first foray into anything Wario related, what was your overall impressions of it?
Starting off, Wario is just a gangster. He does not care. At the end of the day, it's about his bottom dollar. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't care if he's helping the good guys, the bad guys, as long as he's getting paid. And he's like almost immortal.
You're not wrong.
Like,
say what you were gonna say.
I was gonna say, in a Mario game, if an enemy looks at you wrong, you die. And Wario is how you progress to the next level.
You're exactly right. They did that in Wario Land 2, and I think that was one of my favorite aspects of it, is that they kind of take the whole idea of like enemies hurting you, and it kind of throws it on its head. Some enemies will hurt you. They hurt your bottom dollar. They will take coins from you. But other than that, they don't really kill you. So before we dive into like the full gameplay, because we were like, that would have been a good transition for it, but I'm going to go with a worse transition, a worse segue. And we're going to talk about the story. It's going to be very brief, but just to kind of give everyone a framing device for it. One day Wario is flying with his plane over the woods. And by the way, this is all being read from the Mario Wiki. One day Wario is flying with his plane over the woods until it runs out of fuel and crashes. Unharmed, Wario then stumbles upon a mysterious cave. Inside the cave, he discovers a magical music box. He wants to take a closer look, and that causes him to be suddenly sucked into the music box. In the music box, a hidden figure informs Wario that he is a god who once protected the world inside the music box until an evil being sealed away his magical powers in 5 separate music boxes. That's really like music boxception, because that's music boxes inside of a music box, but that's confusing. In exchange for freeing it, the figure promises to send Wario back to his own world to let him keep any treasure he finds. With his mind on the money and the fact that he can return to his own world, Wario departs on his quest in search of the music boxes and many treasures of this mysterious land. So that is the framing device for this game. And for the most part, I mean, you can see the plot twist coming like a mile away. You collect all 5 music boxes only to find out that the guy who wants it is actually like the evil guy who started this whole thing. So then you have to defeat that evil guy, and the evil guy's name is like super strange. It's I looked it up. The final boss name, where are you at?
Isn't it like
Rudy?
Yeah,
it's yeah. Rudy. The final boss's name, and you have to defeat Rudy, who's actually a clown. He's Rudy the clown. And then you have to defeat Rudy, and then once you do, then the villagers who you were actually fighting once before, because they were like, did a curse put on them, says, yeah, you can still keep all the money. And then they send you out on the music box. And that's the game. Spoiler alert, you know, for this, you know, groundbreaking title, this deep storyline. But so that's the framing device of it. So let's dive into the gameplay. What was the first thing for you, Max, that stuck out about the gameplay? Because like you said, this is your first time playing and you were expecting more of a Mario type of game. But what stood out to you?
Honestly, I think it was like when I got to like the second or third map. Second, third map. Well, in the world one, because like I was so used to like just Mario style. That, like, the first one or two, like, I ran through, and I'm just, like, hopping over enemies, and, you know, and just plowing through a level. Then, the third one, like, a nighttime, daytime theme started kicking in. And I remember I just couldn't get to this one spot, and I kind of got annoyed, and I went back to the main map, and I just, like, walked away for a little bit, and I came back, and I went in again. But, like, this time, like, it was, like, night. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, there's zombies running around now. What? And then one of the zombies just ripped off his head and threw it at me. And I became a zombie. But that actually helped me clear the part that I was stuck at. Because I didn't know I had to be a zombie to to clear that part.
This game completely flips everything on its head. So there's actually a lot of different reaction power-ups, as I call them. Mm-hmm. So the one you had was Zombie Wario. He's impervious to all enemy damage, can defeat almost all enemies on touch, and he can fall through thin floors. He's also incredibly slow. But unlike in Wario Land 2, he can actually jump. So in Wario Land 2, you couldn't jump as Zombie Wario, which is very frustrating. Water Light will return him to normal. So there's so many of these. Like, I'm just gonna read them off. I'll give a little pause in between each, and if you have anything to say about them, just get on in there. So you have Ball Ninaru. That's the one where Wario gets turned into a ball. I think it's in for the one boss fight.
Yeah, you don't really use that much.
No, I think it's just for the boss fight. Then there's also Ball of String Wario, which when touched by a silky while it's spitting string, Wario will row back and forth across a course, bouncing off walls until he eventually unravels back into Wario. This can also be used to break blocks.
That one's just annoying, though.
A lot of
other ones you have like some type of control over, even if it's very minuscule. Like that one, you're just, okay, I just got to wait for the timer to run out.
What I like about these power-ups, too, is that sometimes you might not even know, like, you might play the whole game and not even get to it, some of them. For example, like, you might have come across it in Wario Land 3. I did not find this one in 2 when I was playing, but it's Bouncy Wario. After getting hit on the head by a hammer bot, Wario can jump to new heights. After an amount of time, Wario will return to normal. The form will end immediately if he jumps into water or on spikes.
Yes, actually, that one is super key on certain levels to try and get different keys and chests. Like, you have to purposely get hit. And maybe even, like, trying to draw the robot closer to one spot so that you're angled right.
What I guess this is also a good time to talk about the way you kind of beat levels, because you're talking about the different chests there. So each level in this game has 4 different chests, and you have to find the key for each chest to unlock it. All the chests and keys are color-coded, so you know the gray key goes with the gray chest, the blue key goes with the blue chest, so on and so forth. The 4 different colors are gray, red, green, and blue. Generally, you're supposed to stick to the order of going first opening the gray chest, then the red chest, then the green chest, and the blue chest. But you doesn't necessarily have to follow that. There are ways to kind of break that pattern. What I thought was kind of cool about this game is that, to bring it back to that Metroidvania thing, that by having those chests in there, they literally give you a reason to go back to each level, because you might get a new power up. And like you said, which I actually didn't know from watching that, there's a day, like the day and night cycle, depending on if it turns to night, will then give you different options in a level, because now there's different enemies there, like Zombie Wario that you were mentioning before. So that's kind of cool how, like, there's actually the day and night cycle affects the levels in a sense by what enemies are in them, and those enemies then affect you by giving you your different reactions.
Oh, yeah, and, like, the enemies, some enemies can be asleep at night. Other things be, like, the... they have these little hands in the sand worlds that will reach up and try and pull you down, which are non-existent that night. Like, there was, I'm just kind of calling it the Egyptian one because they were sand. At the daytime, like, a unbreakable block was slid down, but at night, a different one was slid down on the opposite side of the map.
Ooh, sorry, I was just yawning. That wasn't you. I wasn't bored with you. I wasn't bored. I was just yawning. I've been tired all day.
He doesn't like Wario.
I do. I actually really like Wario. Going on down, some of the other ones, I pulled up a list of all the different levels, but it's a... yeah, so, like, the levels are broken up into, you know, the cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west, and each one seems to have a different... I don't know. I want to see if there's, like, I wonder what your, like, the desert level that you're talking about is, because I'm looking at all this and there's, like, Out of the Woods, The Peaceful Village, The Vast Plain, Bank of the Wild River, the Tidal Coast, Sea Turtle Rock. So each zone has six different levels, and then there's a seventh level in the east section, which I would assume would be like the final or something close to that, but I honestly don't know. It's called the Forest of Fear, is located in the east of the Music Box world and is unlocked after the player gets the torch in the Castle of Illusion, which opens the path for this level. The red key, that's too much to read.
In the castle. Ugh.
But there's a total of 6, 12, 18, 24, 25 different levels technically, and they make you go back and forth and explore all of them. There's just so many. I like how they break up the levels, though. I really like how they break it up into the cardinal directions, so it really makes you feel like you're kind of exploring a world, you know? You're going all over the place to, within this music box, to get all the power-ups back. And the fact that they give you a reason to explore each one four times, I think is a really cool game design mechanic. But anyway, so some of the other reactions, Bubble Wario, which if it's anything like Wario Land 2, I hate this power, this reaction, because Wario gets trapped inside a bubble, allowing him to endlessly float upward until he hits something. While inside the bubble, Wario has the ability to resist currents and water, which I'm sure that might be nice, but there are so many times you're trying to walk down something and then you'll get hit with the bubble, like you're climbing down an area. And you'll get hit by a bubble, and it'll float you back up to the top, and then you have to do it all over again.
I think the bubble came in handy like maybe one time, and that was just because I wanted to get a coin. But other than that, I hated it.
I don't blame you. Then there's Crazy Wario. Wario becomes hard to control, and a dizzy alter ego. Unlike Wario Land 2, Crazy Wario cannot exhale a poisonous gas to kill enemies and does not change color. So in Wario Land 2, he could exhale poisonous gas and kill enemies with that. Water will revert Wario to his normal state. I always find this one funny because it's clear like they were going for drunk Wario, but since it was Nintendo of America, they wouldn't allow him to be drunk in any of their games. So they just went, oh, he's just crazy. He's just a wacky guy.
Now, once I started to figure out that, like, the different effects that you got from enemies you could actually use to your benefit in some levels, like, I was going back through and I was trying a bunch of stuff. Crazy Wario, I never felt like I could use for it. I don't know.
I'm sure some of these are just to inconvenience you. I mean, it's a little bit farther down because I am going in alphabetical order the way they have it listed, but Puffy Wario, it's when he gets stung by an enemy and then his head will inflate with air and he'll lift upwards until he hits something. It's very similar to Bubble Wario, but I would argue it's a little less useful in the sense that, well, I guess you can actually control the direction, though, that Wario is floating, though. Like in Bubble Wario, I don't think you can control the area or the direction he goes up in.
I think you can, like, wiggle, like, maybe, like, a half an inch. But, like, yeah, you don't have any, like, real directional skills. Puffy Wario does come in handy in some other levels, though, because you gotta like, fly up this shaft thing to get to the top where the chest is at.
Mm-hmm. I think what I love so much about all these reactions is Wario's like personality really shows in each one. Puffy Wario, I think, has my favorite animation because his nose is and his cheeks are so huge. He looks so ridiculous, but it's so charming at the same time. I don't know. I really enjoy all the artwork they did for this game. So you have, we already talked about crazy, then you have Electric Wario. After Wario is hit by a zap of electricity, he's propelled backwards and cannot move for about a second, but enemies that touch him are also killed. Did you ever have to run into did you ever get electrocuted as Wario?
Oh, yeah, like map one.
Really, that early on? They threw that at you that early?
Oh, yeah, and oddly enough, I think it was like a spider that was like chucking. Like, really? I don't know, electric them. So I don't understand what kind of spider that was, but it was shocking.
I see what you did there. Okay. Did you mean to do that pun?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't tell, like, the way you delivered it, I was like, is that intentional? So then you go on down to Fat Wario, which basically after you eat a donut, he gains weight, which then when he steps and pounds on the ground, it causes enemies to shake. And the way you get rid of it is you literally have to burn off the calories by running left and right, which I think is one of my favorite types of like ways to get rid of one of these reactions.
I'm telling you, once this like nationwide like lockdown thing is done, I'm gonna look like Fat Wario mixed with Puffy Wario.
Dude, I feel you on that. This I haven't, thankfully, we have, you know, the internet, so we can easily, you know, communicate like this and whatnot. And also, like, I've been able to watch stuff with my wife. And actually, the day we're recording this, there is an Age of Empires tournament on Twitch that I've been binging like crazy. And it's so good. So it's, I'm thankful that I've had stuff to do, but I've also been eating Oreos and drinking Mountain Dew. It's not good.
Oh my god, yeah, like the gyms are going to get a lot of money once they open back up.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. It'll be like a New Year's resolution all over again. Hopefully there's hopefully that's what I'm hoping for, because that means a lot of people are going to be taking care of their health. All right, so moving on down, we just talked about Fat Wario. Then there is Flat Wario. Wario is flattened by what's called an Omadon or Count Richter. It appears to be one of the bosses, I would assume. He can glide smoothly in the air to reach places previously unattainable and slip through tiny cracks in walls. Water and I don't know what this word is. Omadon Mecha can turn him back to normal. And the Omadon Mecha is an enemy in the game. I wish it would. Oh, it's the little like. They kind of look
flying things.
Yeah, they're little flying things. They're like three different colors. There's blue, green, and red. Yeah. But at least that's what it has here on the wiki. But yeah. So that, what did you, Flat Wario, I remember from the second game, he was kind of fun, but there was no really places for us to float to, for me to float to. Did they actually have something that you encountered in the game that would take you to places you couldn't get to before?
I mean, I did it through Flat Wario, but I mean, if I went back and did it again, I feel like I could probably do it without being Flat Wario.
I gotcha. I don't know. Not all these reactions are winners either, but I always find them fun. If we keep on moving, though, we have Hot Wario, where you know, gets lit on fire and then eventually just turns into a walking flame if you let him stay on fire long enough.
See, now Hot Wario is when I was really like starting to understand the reactions of enemies and stuff. It was still in like World 1. I'm running around on fire and I purposely like, so the, like the fire thing is at the end of the map. So I got it. And then I ran like all the way back to the beginning of the map. Right. And I wasn't sure if that was going to work. But like as you transition from scene to scene, like he's still on fire running. And there were these blocks with like this flame mark on it. So like after he's done running with his pants on fire, like he's just burst into flames and you just see his mustache in his eyes. He's not a happy camper. But I he's like that for a little bit. And any enemy that instantly touches you just dies. But you're a slow walker. Like apparently once you're fully inflamed, that's when you start moving slow. I moved him slowly onto these blocks of the fire image, and like it burnt the blocks away, and I was able to access the new secret area.
I love stuff. I love how like those power ups do stuff for you like that. I think my favorite thing about hearing your reactions to all these, though, the most is just hearing how you progressively learned, like, oh wow, this is nothing like a Mario game that I've played before. Like just the steady realizations, the consistent learning of like, all right, well, what does this enemy give me a power up? Like it almost encourages you to run into enemies to see if they do something to you, which is kind of an odd lesson to be teaching your players, but it's kind of fun at the same time.
Oh yeah, no, Wario is like, take a risk. Jump off the bridge. Let's see what happens. Could be cool.
The Wario is the ultimate thrill seeker. That's what I'm learning from this.
Adrenaline junkies.
Ugh. Right? Then you have Ice Skate in Wario. Wario is frozen solid and sent skimming backwards until he hits a wall. Although usually an inconvenience, wow, this wiki is very nice. Usually an inconvenience, he can slide along spikes and other nasty obstacles and defeat most enemies.
I know this is when it kicks in later on. Like, you have these like polar bear things. And that first time I saw them, I'm just like, yo, is that the bear from like the laundry commercial? Like,
the Charmy bear.
He's throwing stuff at me. Ah, run away.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Charmin bear did turn evil with everything that's been going on lately. He's like, you keep buying too much of my toilet paper. underneath that, you have the next one down on their list, Invisible Wario. Wario is invisible, so he can pass through protected doors. It's very similar to the Vanished Mario from Super Mario 64. However, aside from occasional glimpse, the player cannot see Wario either, making this very difficult transformation to use. Unlike all other Wario forms, he can still walk through doorways. When Wario goes through pipes, he reverts to normal.
Okay, so I don't know if it was me, but so there is a, yeah, he will glitch a little bit, and you might see his image for like a second, but and I bet you it's supposed to have been like his footsteps like kicking up dust or anything, but it always looked like fart bubbles. So to me, it's like Invisible Mario is just running around crop dusting the whole.
That son of a bitch, like, he would do that.
Say, would you put it past Wario? Like,
no, I would. I mean, like, one of his big moves in Smash Brothers Brawl is he has like a fart launch that like wrecks enemies underneath him and propels him straight into the air. Dude's a champ.
I can see what his diet is. Apparently, it's a lot of donuts, though.
A lot of donuts and probably cheese. So we already talked about Puffy Wario. That was the next one underneath Invisible. There's only two left that we have not talked about, because the very bottom one was Zombie Wario. So you have Snowman Wario, which is Wario is covered in falling snow. He becomes a snowman. If Snowman Wario rolls down a slope, he can break certain blocks. Wario can defeat every enemy in this form. That would be wild if there was some way to glitch the game to keep Snowman Wario for all the bosses and just, like, roll into them.
Oh, my God. It would be a fast game.
I know, right? I would love to see a speedrun of this game just to see, like, what glitches are in it. But, yeah, so that's Snowman Wario. Any thoughts on that one?
I don't really remember running into this power. I really don't.
There we go. There's always at least one. So the final one, though, Vampire Wario. When getting touched by Kobato, which I don't know what Kobato is, I'll click on the link. It looks like just a couple of bats that fly in from the side of the screen. Apparently, it literally means little/young bats in Japanese. So there we go. Wario transforms into a vampire, can defeat every enemy he touches. Plus, by pressing the B button, Wario will turn into a vampire bat when he can fly in short spurts. To turn into his normal self, he must touch the head of Garlic or go into a patch of light or fall into a pool of water. It seems like water is the cure-all for Wario in this game.
Yeah. I must like to stay hydrated.
Did you experience anything with Vampire Wario? Vampario? I don't know.
I did. I definitely did. There was one or two spots where it was definitely key to be. But still, not a heavy use one. Definitely not heavy use.
I feel like a lot of these power-ups, there's only a handful that get used frequently, and the rest are so, like, they're so few and far between. Specifically, obviously, the probably the most well-known is that ball one, which is only for the one boss, which also, by the way, they reused because they did that same thing in Wario Land 2. But so then besides all those different reactions, you also have power-ups. Wario has nine total different power-ups throughout the game. He has lead overalls, swim fins, a spiked helmet, a glove with superpower, which is so generic. Wario can lift small enemy. The glove with a superpower is Wario can lift small enemies when walking towards them. He can throw them by pressing B, holding up throws them. Oh, holding up will throw them up in the air. Keeping the B button pressed performs a charged throw, and in this case, enemies can be destroyed when they touch the wall. And there are blocks that can only be that only breaks by throwing some enemies against them. Another one of the power-ups, you have Garlic, which just says that doesn't make sense. Wario can also break undamaged blocks with dash attacks when rolling. I don't know if Garlic's an actual power-up. That doesn't. Is it a power-up? Did you ever experience that?
The effect you're talking about does happen. Yeah, it's not like they got titles when they flash up on the screen. Well, you see like an image. I guess that could have been Garlic. I don't know.
So apparently Garlic makes Wario's dash attacks. Like he can break undamaged blocks with dash attacks when rolling or by jumping. So apparently it just gives him a super up charge or something like that, like a souped up dash attack. Another power up is
I was going to say, you see, garlic's good for the digestion, so it helps all that cheese move through. So it's just like super-powered fart attacks.
Some of the other ones, he has steel overalls, which are similar to garlic. Wario's smash attack can break unstructured blocks, break through fractured blocks unstopped, and defeat large enemies immediately. Addition, he can cause a ground shaker, stunning all small enemies. He has jumping boots. He has Prince Frog gloves, which with these flippers he can swim against strong currents by tapping the B button, which is weird because I guess it's different than swim fins. It's just more powerful swim fins. And then you have glove with superpower 2, which Wario can lift big enemies as well as just the normal ones. So those are all the 9 different power-ups. Anything to say about any of them at all? Like, I know I kind of just ran through them super quick, but we spent so much time on all the reactions, I didn't want to, like, go do a deep dive in all 9 power-ups.
All I'm going to say is, in the beginning, like, especially before you know you get these power-ups, the game seems super complex. So it's just like, how the hell am I supposed to do this? And then you could start getting the power-ups, and you're like, oh, and then you know, on the map, after you get the power-up, you got the little bling, bling on this map set where you can use it. So you go back and you start like, well, damn, this makes this a lot easier. Now I understand. And you start combining that with the effects from the enemies and everything. It's that whole learning curve you were talking about. Like, it starts to go off.
The next thing down here, like, the next thing that I want to talk about in terms of, like, how you can traverse through the levels, besides just using power-ups and reaction and Wario's reactions to different enemies to help you get through levels, there's unfortunately some levels that require you to play a mini game. And this, you were texting me about this mini game. It is the golf mini game. So what is it about this that gave you so much frustration?
Oh my god, I hated the golf minigame so much. I think it's just because, like, I didn't understand what to do. Because you're like, all right, so you go down a pipe and it's like, minigame time, 10 coins to play a game. And it's golf. But then, like, you start doing it and there's, like, this little gauge bar and, like, there's no instructions. It doesn't tell you what to do. So I would be like, okay, X. Oh, look, the face moves. Okay, I'll stop it. I want the ball to go far. And then there's a second one underneath the main one. You're like, oh, what's that for? And
usually what those gauges do, like, one is for power, one is for accuracy. So, like, the first time you stop the bar is, like, you're the power that you're swinging with, and the second time you stop it, like, inside the little lines is how accurate you are. But I don't know if that's true.
That's exactly what this was. And I don't know, maybe I just haven't, like, seen it a lot. But it took me forever to figure that out because apparently I kept messing up and Wario would keep falling on his face and I would just be going through coins. Like, I think I spent like 100 coins just to like figure out how to hit the ball, which is an enemy, by the way.
The ball is an enemy?
Yeah. So you just kick an enemy in the face a couple times, depending on the course you get, and you're trying to get the enemy in the hole in one.
So this was, this would you say was your least favorite part of the game, having to do this mini game?
It was. I'm also not a big mini gamer, so like I usually skip mini games,
dude,
if I can
afford. I am with you so much. It's funny because I actually talked to Casey about that in one of the previous episodes, and it was just like, I don't like, I said it before, it's kind of a controversial opinion. I'm not a big fan of the Mario Party games just because it's a game of mini games, and I'm not the biggest mini game fan. I find it kind of, it's not my favorite thing. And I get why people like this game so much, because they're meant literally for a party. They're not meant for you to play by yourself. You're meant to have like 5 to 6 people all in a room, all yelling at each other about this. But when you have mini games like mixed in with games, some of them are good, some of them are bad. Like, you and I both love the Final Fantasy series, and Final Fantasy VII has a ton of them. And I mentioned that before with one of the episodes with Casey as well. But for some reason in that, not all the time, but for the most part, those mini games work for me because it doesn't feel, with the exception of like one or two, they don't feel that out of place. But with this, it kind of feels a little like it's kind of random. All of a sudden, you have this mini golf game you have to do.
Yeah, and you have to clear it. Like, you don't get a choice in it, because there's like a big block that's blocking your path from progressing in the level, and it says mini game.
Yeah, that would get on my nerves. that would really get on my nerves. The last thing I kind of want to talk about in terms of gameplay is just all the different bosses. And I'm not going to go into, I'm just going to kind of list them all off, and kind of like, I see their names and I also see like what they kind of look like a little bit. The first boss is Doll Boy, which I'm pretty sure he was the guy that had like, it was like there was a 3-tier pillar that you had to knock out the different pillars and then finally hit him, you know?
Yeah.
There's Wormwood, which is spelled W-O-R-M, worm, and then wood is spelled W-O-U-L-D, like what would a worm do or something like that. I don't know. That was weird. That was like the worm mini boss. That worm has a terrifying face.
That worm is like my favorite one, just because he was so stupid. I don't know. It's just all of a sudden, it's like, and now you first, the worm. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's the same thing with Mario games, but like a lot of these bosses are just strange, and I love that. I love how goofy and quirky they are. The third boss is Wolfen Boss, which kind of looks like a little armadillo mouse type of thing. Let me see what.
I thought he was more of a fox.
I could see that, but he's got like a tail like an armadillo. He's purple.
Yeah.
Then you have Shoot, which is that stupid rabbit that we were talking about before that turns you into a ball.
Yeah, actually, I did like that mini boss just because it was a change up. Because you're almost playing a game. Okay, I know I just said I hated mini games, but like you were saying, this one felt like appropriate and wasn't forced on you.
It technically was forced on you because it's a boss, but I agree. It definitely, like, for some reason, the game that, so it's a mini game that uses the mechanics of the existing game. The mini golf game teaches you new mechanics, which are fine, but it has nothing to do with the running and jumping that you play as Mario, that uses Wario. In the Shoot boss fight, it is kind of like a mini game that's a boss fight, but it requires you to, I think, is this the one where there's a turtle in the net and you have to jump on the turtle and then turn the rabbit up into a ball and then kick him?
Yep.
So yeah, it's requiring you to use mechanics better and be a little bit quicker, because you have to like hit the turtle first so that way he ducks under, then hit the rabbit and then throw the rabbit into the net, or in vice versa. But if you hit it, you can hit it in either order, but either way, you have to be quick enough that before either one of them gets up to throw the rabbit into the net, to throw Shoot into the net. Next one down is Muddy, which kind of looks like a beaver.
I never knew what he was.
He kind of crawls on like a cage, like a fence.
Yeah.
It's a salamander-like boss appearing in the stagnant swamp. So that's what it is. Well, let's see actually what the wiki describes for Wolfen Boss, like the thing that I said that looked like an armadillo. He is a kitsune wearing a purple sorcerer's robe.
Isn't a kitsune okay. a fox?
Yep, you were right. Kitsune, in the literal sense, is the Japanese word for fox. There you go. So you were right. I was wrong. So then you have underneath that you have Scowler, which is kind of like, it looks almost like a squid octopus type of thing.
Yeah, but with a bad facial.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's got like his weird blue hat on him too, or like a blue spot on his head. Then you have Yellow Belly, which looks like a bee. Then you have Jamano, which is kind of like a skull. Then you have Pesci. It's a fish. Then you have Anonster, which is the spider. And then finally, Rudy the clown. Sorry, Rudy. I'm just laughing at all the, you know, these ridiculous names. Wolfen Boss, Wormwood, Doll Boy, Scowler, Muddy, and then Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy was really weird looking too, because like he has like trumpets in his ears and stuff. Like he doesn't make a lot of sense.
What was your favorite boss to fight out of all? Like I said, I didn't get a chance to play this, but I did as much research as I could. The long play of this, I skimmed around and I watched chunks of it, but it was like 4 hours long. So I mean, it's a pretty short game if you know what you're doing. But like this player knew where everything was. It required absolutely no exploration. Like as soon as they got the next power up, they would immediately go to the level where it needed to be and knew exactly where they needed to go in that level in order to do it. So the 4 hours I'm sure is just someone playing it straight through. But yeah. So like, what was your, since I didn't get to see much of the game or even get to experience much of it, I did play Wario Land 2, but. What was your favorite boss out of all of these?
Like I said, I actually did really enjoy the worm because he just made me laugh. But was it Shoot was also a lot of fun because like it was just a little bit different. And honestly, I had a lot of fun fighting the spider. I think it's just because like I didn't really have much. By the time I got to the spider, I was definitely had like good understanding of the mechanics. And like some of the other ones I had to like do more than once to clear. The spider I did get once. They got it on my first try. So like I like that.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, because at that point then it kind of showed you that like, yeah, no, I know how to play this game. I've learned the skills I need in order to beat this. The Rudy, like it's weird because the wiki just lists them as a hidden figure, which is bizarre. That's just weird. But was the final boss difficult at all?
A little bit. I think I had to do him 3 times to kind of like actually get past him.
Fair enough.
Now he had like this weird like hand thing. Like I did bring up a picture of him myself. He looks like he's just like walking around like his fists like in his chest level, but like his hands are kind of just like floating there. He doesn't really have arms.
That seems like, to be a trend with a lot of video game bosses.
I guess arms are just hard to animate. So these hands are like floating around and like they try and grab you and smash you and squish you. But you gotta like dip and dodge and weave, and then like you gotta bop them so they're paralyzed and kind of grab it and throw it at his face and be like, mm-hmm. why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah. Okay. I do remember watching that final boss fight now, because I did watch a video of all the bosses, but it's hard. I mean, there's a decent amount. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 total. 10 before the final boss. 11 if you include it. Anything left to say about the gameplay? I feel like we really dove through all the power-ups, all the different Wario reactions. We've talked about the bosses. We've talked about how it's like an exploratory platformer. which it's funny because I'm looking at the Wikipedia thing now and it classifies it as a Metroidvania as well, the thing that I was saying. So I guess it technically is one. I slightly disagree with it only because it's not completely, like, it's not one conjoined world, but at the same time, like, you are exploring, I don't know, I guess it is a Metroidvania then. But yeah, so any final things from you to say about the gameplay at all that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, when you're in the map and you run around the map, the northwest, south, east, right? It's actually just like you're running around the mountain inside the middle of the music box.
That's a good observation.
Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, I didn't really pick up on that at first either. It was near the end where I'm just like, you know what? I'm just running in a circle.
And that also makes sense. That also makes sense because when you see in like the top left corner, there has like the four it has a little circle with the four quadrants of north, south, east, west. And that makes sense because if you're looking at the music box like top down, those are the that's the area that you're in of the music box. Like you're in the north, like the top part of the music box, or in the southern part of the music box. That's a good observation. I didn't even notice it. That's a really, like, I feel like I should have, but that's really cool that they did that. Anything else you got though?
Like I said, like, you could still go back and try and like 100% this game, which I didn't really know that was bigger back then. I feel like that was an earlier attempt at offering continued game after you beat the story mode. But like, it was a really good game, and I've never done a Wario before. And this would open me up to more Warios. It was a great game.
There's a lot of, like, I played Wario Land 2, and that game pleasantly surprised me with how much fun it was. So I was really bummed I couldn't play this one, but at the same time, I have a lot on my plate. Actually, I almost forgot, this at the end of this episode, I will be making that announcement of what my big summer project is, which is why I've been playing so many other games recently. But we'll get to that at the end of the episode. We got a little bit more to talk about with the overall art and music, but and that won't take too long. But yeah, so let's dive into that now, and that way I can get to the announcement. So the music and the art. The music is goofy. It's a very kind of, it's very clownish. It's a really kind of catchy melody, but it's at the same time, I don't know if I'd want to listen to it outside the game because it's a little obnoxious, but not obnoxious like when you're playing it. It's just when you listen to it, you picture like a jester in like a King's Court or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, the music definitely suits Wario. Fits his personality. Some of the times when I was having like more trouble like going through a level and stuff, I would turn it off just so I could focus a little better.
No, I could see that happening. It's a little distracting, and also I do like though that it's dynamic in the sense that depending on what power up you have, it changes the style of music. So when you're like heavy warrior or you're fat warrior, it's like da 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 da. It's just a lot. It's a lot slower and a lot more like goofy. Now I don't think it necessarily keeps the same melody throughout all of it. It definitely changes from level to level. But the music itself does change depending on the power-ups and depending on what's happening in the game. And each time it changes to Mario's reaction or what's happening, I think it's really well executed. I think it works overall. As for the artwork, I think the artwork in this game is beautiful. I really enjoy the pixel art that they did for this. Like, the look that they have on the Game Boy Color is just fantastic. Like, the fact to me that this is a Game Boy game is just amazing. To be fair, the Game Boy Color is slightly more powerful than the original Game Boy, and also this game was released in 2000 originally on May 30th, 2000 in North America, but it was originally released in Japan on March 21st of the same year, 2000.
I think my only problem with the art, which was beautiful and everything, was his shirt's white.
Why is that a problem? Oh, because it's yellow in the box?
Yeah. That just that bothered me.
I wonder, I didn't even think about that. I think the reason I like the artwork so much is just because, like, when the game opens up and you see Wario's plane crash into the forest, I thought that scene was actually really well animated. I got tired of seeing it because on the busted cartridge copy that I was playing, it would open up, you'd see Wario go into the music box. You would see the map screen and you go to the first level on the map and then the game would just freeze and it wouldn't save. So every time you started it up to test it out again, it would make you watch that whole opening cutscene again. And it just got so frustrating that I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to look at this anymore. But I think like the overall artwork is just, I really enjoyed it, but I could see I didn't even notice that the white shirt is completely off. That's kind of funny.
You know, I felt like he was like Mario might be a plumber, but I feel like Wario is more of a sailor. Like, especially the white shirt.
He was kind of I could see that. I mean, so in the Mario Land 2, he takes over Mario's castle and Mario kicks him out. And then he gets his own castle in Wario Land 1. And then pirates come and kick him out and he has to go reclaim it. I believe that's what it was. Hold on. I'm completely blanking on this now. Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. So in Wario Land 1, Wario Land 2 is where his castle got stolen by pirates. In Wario Land 1, he finds himself on a place called Kitchen Island looking at a statue of Princess Peach. He finds out Captain Syrup and her pirates stole the statue and goes out to defeat her and take the statue. After beating the game, Mario ends up stealing the statue from Wario. That's kind of funny, actually. That's pretty good. And yeah, and then in Wario Land 2 is when he fights Captain Syrup again, and her and the Black Sugar Gang flood Wario Castle and steal his treasure. Wario chases after them to get his treasure back. And then Wario Land 3 is in the music box. Wario Land 4 is for the Game Boy Advance, and I'm actually kind of excited to try that out. Apparently begins with Wario driving his car in a desert looking for a legendary treasure he read about in a newspaper. Deep within a jungle, Wario discovers the Golden Pyramid, where he encounters a black cat who leads him inside of the pyramid. Throughout the game, Wario faces five bosses who guard the evil ruler of the pyramid, the Golden Diva. He has to fight the ruler of the pyramid, the Golden Diva. After defeating the Golden Diva, Wario learns that the cat which led him to the pyramid was, in fact, Princess Shokokora, who was cursed by the Golden Diva. Shokora, now with the Golden Diva defeated, turns back into her human self and thanks Wario. Well, that just spoiled that whole game. Why did I read that? But you don't play the Wario Land games for that. But yeah, so any final thoughts on Wario Land 3, Max? Anything you want to say that you didn't get a chance to throughout the course of the episode?
No, I don't. I think I touched on everything I wanted to. I'm definitely going to explore more of this series, though.
Yeah. That's good, man, because like this series in general is it's a really fun bit like series of games, and I had actually never personally played it until I started doing Mario Month this year as well. The one podcast I listened to, Retronauts, did an episode on the Wario Land series in general, but I kind of wanted to do individual. I mean, that's what I do. I do individual. Each episode is on an individual game, unless it's something that I really don't feel like I can talk about for a while, though some of my older episodes I probably should have grouped together because they were bad. But I really enjoy the Wario Land series in general, and I'm kind of bummed that like I couldn't get to Wario Land 4 for Mario Month, but I'll save that in for kind of like an odds and ends thing. But I kind of want to do all of Super Mario Land up until like just follow that natural progression of Super Mario Land, Super Mario Land 2, Super Mario Land 3, which is actually Wario Land 1, then Super Wario Land, or not Super, just Wario Land 2, and then Wario Land 3. But yeah, I'm glad you're going to check more of these out, because it's a really good series, and I definitely suggest anyone who's never tried these games to give them a shot, because they're super fun and they're a very lighthearted romp. Like, you really, you don't ever feel pressured. It doesn't, like, only time I would ever get mad is when it would be something that was more of a nuisance. Like, you don't die. You just kind of get pushed back and then you have to redo something over again. So you don't really feel like penalized all that much. But I think the difficulty is like just perfect, especially for people who are just getting into like platforming games.
Oh yeah. And like, it's like you're saying, like, it's very go with the flow. You move at your own pace. You kind of learn at your own pace. But it's still fun the whole time.
That wraps up this episode of Still Loading. Thank you all once again for listening. For my big announcement, I will do that now and then we'll do the plugs. So this year I made a post about it just a couple weeks ago at this point now, but the PlayStation 2 is turning 20 years old this year. In fact, it was released in Japan. I actually wrote this down. Hold on. It was actually released in Japan on March 4th, 2000. So just earlier this month. And it was released on October 26th, not November, sorry, that was in Europe, but on October 26th, 2000 in North America. So here's my big project, the one that I've been kind of like teasing since January. I'm going to do what I'm calling the summer of PlayStation 2, the summer of PS2. And similarly to Mario Month, I'm going to be releasing an episode every week for the entirety of the summer leading up until October 26th, or the closest Sunday, since that's when I release episodes, the closest Sunday to October 26th. Every episode for that time is going to be on a different PlayStation 2 title. I've actually recorded a bunch already, so I already have about 6 to 7 episodes already in the bank. I just have to edit them still. But that is what I'm going to be doing. So get excited, everyone. There's going to be a lot of content coming out this summer. There might be a couple episodes recorded remotely due to the whole coronavirus stuff that's been going on. But hopefully once things get back to normal and the world kind of stabilizes, I'll be able to record with people in person again. And we'll get on with this. But yeah, so the summer of PlayStation 2, I believe I have the first date. The first episode of that will be June 21st. Sunday, June 21st is the first episode. And actually, looking at my already recorded stuff now, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I already have 8 episodes recorded. So, yeah. Summer of PlayStation 2 coming June 21st.
To a podcast near you.
Oh, yeah. I like that. To this podcast feed near you, I guess. to a podcast near you. So, yeah. That is my big announcement. So, I hope you're all excited. I hope you're all looking forward to it. And with all that said, Max, is there any place online that people can find you? Is there any social media you'd like to plug? If not, no worries. I always like to offer it just in case anyone wants to.
Not this time, but I do have some things in the works, so maybe in the near future.
Sounds good. And as usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can also email me, StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. I always forget to do this. I have a website, StillLoadingPodcast.com. You can check that out. There's also a contact section on there as well as a way to listen to the podcast. If you want to support the show, you can do it in a number of ways. You can support it by giving it a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting catching app you use. You can also check out the Patreon, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. Even just $1 a month will help me grow the show. And the most important plug that I have to give is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a partner of the Still Loading Podcast. And what they do is they are a nonprofit organization whose mission is to fundraise and donate video games and video game systems to children receiving inpatient care at children's hospitals. So check out their website, bitbybitfoundation.org. There we go. Oh. The one that I always say, and you always hear me say, oh, at the last possible second, check out the podcast network I'm a part of, the Podbeard Network. Go to podbeardnetwork.com and check out all the amazing shows on it. So that should do it for me. So Max, sincerely, thank you for kind of literally you when I asked you to be on this, you're like, I'll find the game. Just tell me when we're going to record. And you went in, you recorded, you made time in your schedule. So thank you for joining me today.
Hey, it was my pleasure. I've been wanting to be on the podcast for a while now.
So and that should all do it. So thank you all once again for listening, and I will see you all next time.